Hi, I'm Takashi. So I've been working for SUSE Fairway for a long time, and still I'm working for the kernel stuff. And this year again, my talk is about the kernel. So this is the outline of my talk today. So at first, I will start something clarifying methods and followed by the what's new in the LEAP 15.1 kernel, and then going to the SUSE or OpenSUSE kernel development process. And last, something to show how the things get fixed and how the things get tested. So the first topic is about the clarifying methods. That means just kind of FAQ about our kernel. And here's my talk about, it's about OpenSUSE LEAP and SUSE Linux Enterprise. And one of the common question is, well, LEAP and SUSE kernels, they're same, identical? Well, it's yes and no. Yes, the both packages are built from the very same source tree. However, SUSE kernel and LEAP kernel, they have major differences in the binary form. And first of all, the kernel configurations, they're completely different between two. The SUSE Linux Enterprise kernel have reduced kernel configuration, while OpenSUSE LEAP contains almost full enablement of the all features. And SUSE kernel has a split for two packages. One is a supported, another is unsupported modules. And while LEAP has only one kernel package, contains everything. And both packages are built in different environments, build services, IBS, internal build service, versus OBS, OpenSUSE build service. And then SUSE kernel supports live patching by KGraph, while SUSE, OpenSUSE LEAP doesn't provide that yet. So they're also the same, they are built from the very same source tree. The resultant binary packages are completely different. And maybe that is the most commonly asked or seen thing, the OpenSUSE LEAP 15.0.51, 14.4.12 kernel that is very, very, very old. Yeah, yes, it's old. And actually, looking at our history, OpenSUSE LEAP takes relatively old kernel bases. So OpenSUSE LEAP 40.2 took a 4.4 kernel basis, and OpenSUSE LEAP 15.0 and 1 are based on 4.12 kernel. That's correct. However, we took really huge amount of patches on top of that. Now, OpenSUSE LEAP 15.0, we already took 22,000 patches on top. Now, guess what, for 51. 46,000. So almost 50,000 patches on top. And that's why it is no longer 4.12 kernel. It is a kind of question of the shape of tessels. That's a famous thought experiment. So this is no longer original 4.12, but quite, containing so much different components on top. And is LEAP, SUSE kernel stable? In that case, the answer is yes. So actually, this is the reason, the very much reason why we take that old kernel code base. And that's another point of about the stability is that we guarantee, as a kind of guarantee, to provide a consistent kernel ABI. That means if you build a kernel module package once, then this package can be built for all kernels after updates of the same version. And we do proactive fix backporting fixes, and also that are from the several trusted sources. And we do CI and QA testing regularly on the kernel. So let's continue to the next thing, that what's new in Deep 15.1. So as I said, there are so many changes in the kernel in Deep 15.1. And this is a table showing the how, so which directories, top directories in the kernel contain the changes. And as you can see, that majority of changes have been done to the drivers. This astonishing over 86% of the source code changes. So in the end, we almost had 5 million lines of changes, and about that 86%. And that this is not surprising, because in general, device drivers that tend to have a bunch of changes in the code, while the important changes like the memory management core or file system, their changes, amount of changes are short, so small. However, they are important. And for Deep and S3 kernels, we are kind of conservative. So we don't touch too much about the core part intensively, while we are backporting many things to support the new features of the new machines or new systems. That's the one of the reasons that we get this statistics. So now 51. So let's start from the server side. We had, as you can guess, many, many storage and file system, block layer, and network updates. Most of SCSI, so recent SCSI drivers have been updated, and InfiniBunch, RDMA, and another interesting thing is NVMe over fabrics that is required for NetApp stuff, and we catch up upstream. File system got also a bunch of updates, especially ButterFS. This is the default file system, and also XFS, XT4. And at this time, we got a bunch of bcache updates, and MD RAID, and Ceph, and CIFS. And block layer, that now we are still, I think we still didn't switch default to multi-queue, but we got the update to the most recent code for the block memory queue. And that includes a BFQ IO scheduler. And network, yeah, of course, the network core has been updated. And Ethernet, yeah, Broadcom, Cavium, Chelsea, Cisco, oh, well, you name it. Most of the vendors have been updated. The desktop usage, the first of all, that is video driver, DRM stack updates, that we raised the whole code up to 4.19 or later stage. And actually, this is a very much many, many changes. And this is about 20% of the whole 50,000 lines of changes. And also Wi-Fi drivers, we update almost the whole Wi-Fi drivers and Wi-Fi stack up to 4.19 plus, and storage, MMC, SD, and they have been updated. And sound drivers, that's my area. And so I upgraded whole HD audio, USB audio to 5.0 or even 5.1. And then bus platforms, etc. We got a Thunderbolt update, PCI hot plug, and FGPA small bit still, and TPM 1.220 things, and RDT memory bandwidth allocation stuff. Also hardware crypto and x86 HWMI. This is for laptops and desktops. And virtual machines, KVM, Hyper-V, Zen, they have been upgraded. And security up armor. And another interesting thing is AMD SEV. That is a secure encrypted virtual machine. I forgot the anonym. and tools as a Perf and BPF. Of course, these stuff have been updated. And architectures. And for the x86, we add support for the recent new Intel and AMD chipsets, like I forgot the name, Whiskey Lake, Amber Lake, or Leibich, also Ice Lake, and also AMD Ryzen Zen 2 thing. Oh, well, Zen 2 is just Leibich. And ARM 64, there are so many changes, and I cannot list up. So if you have a question, here is a Matthias Brugger, then he can answer. Yeah. Or something's broken, that it's because his updates. And ARM's 32-bit, for that we didn't have much updates, so much backports, but only casual fixes that are spotted from the trusted stable tree or fixes. And ARM 32-bit is provided only for Leap. This is not for SUSE Linux Enterprise. And on the other hand, PowerPC 64 and S319, they are mostly for SUSE Linux Enterprise, and they got also updates. Also, we provide then these architectures package also for ports on OpenSUSE Leap. So continue on SUSE Linux kernel development. How that happens? So, not surprisingly, we manage that in Git. Yes, of course, everything is on the Git. And what is different in SUSE, OpenSUSE kernel source management from other distribution is that we keep all code changes in individual patches instead of applying the patch on the Git kernel tree. Instead, Git kernel repository contains patches, patch files. And this is applied on dynamically at the building package, so just like a Qt. And this series.conf contains a list of patches, so which patches applied first and next, so on. And the repository contains patch files. When you look at the kernel source packages, you can find that over 97% of patches are from upstream. So I mean, this means upstream Linux tree. And that is the result we really try hard to push upstream first rule. So we basically accept only patches that are upstream or that will be upstreamed. And the recent changes in the development process is that we apply sorted patches. And what is sorted patches? That means basically we apply the patches in order, the same order like upstream tree. So suppose that upstream Linux tree had changes A, B, C. And then we applied patches A, B, and C, that order. That's all. That is sorted patches. That means we, for example, when we had the patch B and C first applied, and we found out that the patch A is missing, then we have to apply patch A. And in that case, we don't apply patch B, C, A. Instead, we apply patch A, B, and C. So for that, always reordering the patches to adapt the upstream, the topological order. So that is the key of the sorted patches. And why we do that? Because by keeping the sorted order, that each patch becomes closer to the original form. And this has a big merit that that makes the backport easier, backport cleaner. And also, it makes easier to catch any backport mistakes. You can just compare the patch, the backported patch and the original commit. So then, how to expand patches? Yeah, we have 50,000 patches, as I said, and this may take really long time. If you run Kilch script for these 50,000 patches, I measure that, and that takes 6 hours on this machine. 6 hours patch uptime, it's not good for the daily job. Morning applying patches, then sleeping, the day's over. It's a good job. So that can be actually faster. So we had already a script, so-called a sequence patch, and that applies the patches, and just like Kilch, but a little bit, optimized way. And this takes 9 minutes, 25 minutes for 50,000 patches. It's faster, but still take time. But there is a trick. The script got fast mode. And what does mode do? The problem of the previous approach was that script invokes patch program at each time. That means 50,000 times patch was invoked, so patch program executed. That took so many time. So instead, this mode, we gather all 50,000 patches in a single patch file and feeds to patch program. Then that works. Then that's 80 seconds. Good. However, the drawback of this approach is that you cannot roll back to the patch that fails to apply. Is there any better way? Yeah, there is. Recently, Michael Serp developed a program called Rapid Kilch. And this is a program written by Rust and that applies the patches in parallel and also supports a rollback at a patch failure. If you use that program on my machine, that's with an 8-core machine, it takes only 3 seconds for 5,000 applying 5,000 patches instead of 6 hours. That's really awesome. Then Suze Kano Git3, this is publicly available, and you can see that kernel.suze.com at any time. And this Git tree contains several different branches, and each branch, each branch represents for the each, so to say, the product, like SLA15, what SLA15 SP1, OpenSUSE15.0, OpenSUSE51. And also Tumbleweed is taken from the stable branch that's tracks to the upstream stable kernel. Also there is a master and the head. This tracking the Linux tree that's currently 5.2 RC1. And also there is a vanilla and Linux next branches that automatically fetch the Git tree from the upstream. And just for that, these are all just for testing. And Git workflow, and that's we do, kind of GitHub-like or normal Git workflow. Just taking the each Git branch maintainer takes a pull request from the each developer and merge after integration tests and review. That's the way. There is a kbuild bot running that's testing the builds and also doing the sanity checks, like a patch can be applied cleanly or something wrong contained and so on. And if everything's okay, then kbuild bot says that yes, this branch can be merged, and the branch maintainer reviews and merges that stuff. And one thing to be noted that is that some branches are shared by other branches. For example, SLA15 is shared by many other branches, and that branch is automatically merged to other branches. This is like that. So SLA branch is merged to SLA12 SP4 and SLA 15 SP1 and SAS, well, even SP5. And SAS 15 is derived to OpenSUSE 15.0 and so on. That's for users and developers. One good thing to know is kernel of the day. This is really I would recommend to remember. And actually, this is a kernel package built from the very latest kernel Git branch. And in OBS, it's updated daily. So every day it's updated and fetched the very latest Git repository and rebuild the package. That OBS kernel colon SF15 was this kernel colon branch that contains the kernel package, kernel of the day. So why this is good? So you can install kernel of the day package from other branches too. That means if you have a brand new laptop that OpenSUSE 51 still doesn't support, then you can install OpenSUSE tumbleweed kernel and very latest one from the kernel stable tree. Or if you have a regression after upgrading to the OpenSUSE 51, then you can just install the old OpenSUSE 15.0 kernel on top of your 51 system and see whether the problem gets fixed by that. And if yes, then this is a kernel regression of 51. You can report that. Then we see what changes are done and so on. One thing to be noted that you'd better to increase the number of multi-installable limits in zip.conf file beforehand. And as a default, I think there are only you can install two or three kernels on the system. But usually I increase that number to five or six. So bug fixes. So as I said, the deep or the in general OpenSUSE, we apply the bug fixes on by our hands. And usually we take the bug fixes from the upstream commit. And how we can find that bug fix? Nowadays the kernel developer is supposed to mark fixes tag if there's some if the commit is supposed to be a regression fix. Then there is a script or program called git fixes, and this program can scan the upstream changes and reports which commit may fix our the bug that's found in our kernel. And this is one way to find out the fixes from the upstream. And another way is just looking at the stable kernel trees. And currently there are 4.14 and 4.19 long-time support kernel. And there is a script, also git fix can take a look at that and see which commits are missing, possibly fix that problem. And if we have a problem, then of course you can report SUSE or OpenSUSE Bugzilla. Or we can take a look at upstream bug trackers too. And now this is something new. Now we have a lightweight CI tests for the kernel. And actually this is running hourly on the Git on my desktop, currently not the cloud. And it fetches the Git commit, and if something changed, then running the tests. And it tests only KVM and boot to the desktop system, and doing also suspend regime testing. And there are different images built from the different file systems and also AFI legacy boots and different QM graphics backends. And so that helps sometimes to catch their regression as early as possible. And another new thing is that we deploy OpenQA tests for the kernel of the day. So thanks to the QA team, they take certain branches, currently SF15, SF15, SF12, SP4, and something else. And they test kernel of the day, so every day, basically. And that's Open2A, so it's currently limited only on virtual machine. And the test scenarios are seem also limited. Currently, they test only LTP. So that's basically all my topics. Then resource, the kernel.sudoku.com and OBS repository is there. So if you want to find something, then you can take a look at that. Okay. So that's all. Any questions or bashing to the kernel package or something else?
Hi, it's not directly a question, but more like a comment. So I think as an OpenSUSE community, we should think about how to manage, how to handle requests for OpenSUSE Leap kernel development, because I think we use in OpenSUSE Leap, we use this Leap kernel, which I think makes a lot of sense because of the stability. But we sometimes had the problem that afterwards someone came and said, hey, this driver or this peripheral is not working, this is a bug. And we told him, no, we can't add this driver now because it's already closed. So I think we would need to like formalize in some way the possibility for the community to create feature requests against the Leap kernel to include their needs.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, very much I agree that we used to have the open page in the past, but it was discontinued, I think. So the current way to request for the OpenSUSE Leap is either Bugzilla, just open the Bugzilla entry to report that, or ask on the OpenSUSE kernel mailing list or factory. Maybe the OpenSUSE kernel is better. But yes, it would be better to have some more formal way. Yeah, because we want to track the feature request itself. Yeah, but I think this, yeah, maybe it's above my hands. Good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for attention.